Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, powered by the SID Media, 1533, the time here on the Adventist World Radio. We're going to be talking to Pastor Ngwenya, talking about the world versus the kingdom, and he is already joining us on the line. Good afternoon to you, Pastor Ngwenya.
Greetings, my brother, and greetings to the listeners.
Yeah, greetings to you indeed. Now, we're talking about the world versus the kingdom. And so far, we have diagnosed the problem and you've helped us greatly to get to that. However, Romans 12:2 doesn't just leave us with a warning. It offers a brilliant, hopeful alternative. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is where true transformation happens. It isn't a matter of willpower or just trying harder to be good. It is the result of a completely rewired heart and a perspective. Now, like a house being remodeled from the inside out, the old decaying structures of thought are torn down and the solid truth of God's word is built in their place. But now, how does this supernatural rewiring actually happen in a chaotic life? And that's what we want to actually look at today together with the pastor. Now, Pastor, the Greek word for transformation found in Romans 12:2 is metamorpho, where we get metamorphosis as the word. Now, how does this apply to mental renewal?
All right. We should understand that if we look at the Greek word metamorpho, as it is founded in the word metamorphosis, the word in that it means a transformative change, structure or character of something. So that means there is a total change. And then when Paul writes to the Romans, as he states that he says they need to have their characters transformed inward out. So here then we speak about the mental renewal. This one is when we focus on doctrinal soundness that shapes our moral transformation. We speak about mental here, moral transformation, as we read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 to 20. You know, also we need to move away from the world patterns that are around us. We must become anti-world patterns in terms, as it is highlighted in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, where it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. So our mental renewal also focuses that we should not be absorbed. We should not desire so much of the world. And lastly, our thinking, our mental faculties, should be Christ-centered, as it is evident in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, yep, where he said, let this mind be in you, yep, which was also in Christ. Mm-hmm. So that's how the mental transformation, the mental renewal, you saw the word re, it means you, the mind was there, but now it is being renewed, it is being changed, it is being transformed, it's getting a new form. In a nutshell, that's what I can say.
Now, Philippians 4:8 gives us a checklist of things to think about. How do we practically filter our thoughts through this verse?
Right. Whatsoever we think, this it speaks to the mind. Whatsoever we think affects our relationships. It determines the choices that we make. And then thereafter, it guides us through life. So we have to note, and we have to position ourselves in a way that we filter things. So it is imperative that we filter our thoughts. But how do we filter in this generation? Yeah. It's only when we are under the Spirit of God. John 16, verse 18. That gives us the power that we can filter. Because on our own, you know, our minds are clouded. Our mental faculties are carnal. We are not built to think positive. We are not built to do good always. We are always thinking, our minds are inclined to the negative that is in our carnal nature. So we, in this context of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, we are now able to think and do what is noble, because the Spirit is the one that is in us. We are able to do what is right. We are able to do what is pure. Blessed are the pure. We are able to do what is lovely. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. And we are able to do what is admirable, because the power of the Spirit is in our faculties of thinking. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, when faced with a sudden financial crisis, how does a renewed mind react differently than a worldly mind?
For a typical example, many of us went through financial issues during COVID. You know, most people, we stopped working, and by that time I was doing my studies, and I was meant to go and I was meant to pay and travel from to Solusi University. But because I am a child of God, I was able, because of a renewed mind, I was able to absorb the financial crisis that I was in and with the family. So we need to know that a worldly mind in a financial crisis tends to be in a panic mode. It's saturated with terror, you know, uncertainties. It is also filled with self-support. Whereas a renewed kingdom, I want to use the word kingdom mind, because we're speaking about the kingdom, reacts differently from the world mind, in the sense that the renewed mind finds peace, finds tranquility in the Lord, understands the matters of stewardship, that God is the provider, and keeps steps with God through prayer. And a typical example, you look at the life of Job, you know, in chapter 1 and chapter 2. You know, after losing all his immense wealth, we are speaking about finances here, livestock, and also the children in a single day. But he had the resilience, because he knew that he has a God. And hence, he propounded and brought in Job 19:25, "I know my Redeemer liveth." Another typical example that I just found is the founder of World Vision, Bob Pierce. You know, he was a Baptist minister. He's late, but he prayed regularly for financial resources so that he can provide for the impoverished communities worldwide. The World Vision that we see today was started by a man who needed finances to run that, but he prayed. So that's where our strength is found, when we are connected with the Lord.
What is that relation between reading scripture and physically renewing our neurological thought patterns? What's that relationship?
You know, the scripture, the word of God is more than a spiritual inspiration. It's more than that. You know, it is our transformational tool for our mental and emotional healing in any given situation. Mm-hmm. So when we meditate in the word of God, and we spend time on the scripture, we are not just reading the words, but we are rewiring our brain to align with God's truth. You know, thy word is truth. So it enables us to heal from emotional wounds that we have. You know, there are so many things that we are going through, family breakdowns, you know, so many things, and we learn biblical coping tools that will strengthen us to have emotional resilience. We also develop a way of to understand how trauma affects our brain and how forgiveness and faith restore it. And the last part is that as we spend time in the scripture, we develop daily habits that foster peace, gratitude, and hope. Because this is psychological part of our healing. Thank you.
It is indeed. Now, let's talk about silence. Why is silence and solitude necessary for the architecture of a renewed mind? You know, in our Lord, you know, hyper connected world, in our loud hyper connected world.
We should note that the world that we live in is constantly stimulated. It is full of hyper connections, and We need silence and we need that solitude so that our brain that is always overloaded, you know. Mm-hmm. Even when we sleep, our brains is overloaded. We don't rest actually, you know. Even on Sabbath, you know, some of the Adventists, they don't rest. Their brains is still, they're in church, but you can tell some that they are not here. The way they sing, the way, because the brain is always overloaded. So we need to have that peace, that silence, that solitude that can give us that rest as we sleep in the evening. And you just rest entirely overnight and then you wake up fresh for a new day.
Now, the renewed mind, how can it handle interpersonal conflict and forgiveness differently than the culture?
You know, when we look at culture in this context, it is often driven by self-preservation and the pursuit of my truth. What I say is true. And therefore, I demand, there is high demand for retribution towards what I say. There, that means that, you know, this is how I desire this to be taken. This is how I desire justice. This is how I desire this person to act in a certain way on how he comes to me for forgiveness. But in the biblical world, or in the biblical worldview, this requires humility, you know, radical grace, as we saw on the cross, and the pursuit of peace. So Jesus says, if I remember well, is it John 16 or John 17? I give you my peace, not as the world giveth you. So for us to come to the point of forgiveness, for us to handle, we should now move away from the cultural aspect of it and come into the biblical context, and then we become relevant.
And lastly, before we leave you, my pastor, what is a specific morning routine that can help the listeners, you know, those who are listening, anchor their minds in the kingdom before the world interrupts?
Thank you. David pens and say, early in the morning, I bring my supplications before the Lord. Before, you know, before you could even have breakfast as a king, David would first communicate with heaven. And in the same context, even Daniel in Babylon, you know, it highlights in the book of Daniel that he prayed three times a day, in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. But the morning part, you know, it molds our mindset. It helps us now to surrender to God, so that in any instance, whatever we face, whether positive or negative, our minds are now in line with the will of God, and that all is well because my God is leading me.
My pastor, I must thank you so much for coming through this afternoon. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and indeed was a pleasure today. Let me then allow you to dash off and continue with your day, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Thank you. Stay blessed. Bye.
Thank you, and bye-bye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.